Okay, we are in the book of Acts chapter 13. And if you remember, we finished first 33 verses. And we are going to finish rest of them. So let's go to the verse 33. And we are not going to read the whole chapter, as I said. We go a little bit at a time. Let's read. Go ahead.
God hath fulfilled the saying unto us their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee.
Amen. Now when you read this scripture, before that St. Paul was saying, Jesus Christ is risen. And he said, this news I'm declaring to you is a glad news. And God has given this news. And now he's saying, God hath fulfilled the same. What same? The news he gave to the forefathers. What happened to Jesus Christ? That the same news is for us. And now he's saying, Jesus Christ. Let's read that verse one more time. Let me read it. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, therein children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm. And what is written, he says, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. When somebody reads this, they are going to say, Jesus Christ was born the day when the second Psalms was read. Jesus was not born in that day. Now why he is saying this? Because Jesus Christ came into this world. He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is from the beginning. And why the word of God is saying, this day I have begotten thee. Do you know? Jesus Christ came, died on the cross of Calvary, and he was buried. He came out of the grave just like a new life. He bought the life it was not before existed. That is called eternal life. That is called incorruptible life. That is called the life of God. That life was only revealed by Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back to the Psalm 2. This is St. Paul is recording from Psalm 2. Let's read from Psalm 2, verse 7 to 9.
I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Okay, this promise is given to the Son of God. He is the one, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. He is the one who has power to rule over the whole world. And he has the power to eternal life. Then you will read later on, this same verse is given for the believers in book of Revelation chapter 2. But right now, we are concentrating on Jesus Christ. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and start reading from verse 5 to 12.
For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he said, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail.
Amen. Now the word of God said this promise was not given to angels. or anyone. Now comparing with the Psalm 2nd and Hebrews 1 is a vast difference. In the Psalm 2 it says, you have begotten. It means, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. But in the Hebrews, St. Paul is making so clear. He says, he never said to any angel, you are my son. He never said to anyone that you are the God. Jesus Christ is called the Son of God, and he is God himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we worship triune God. So here we read in the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ is equivalent to Father. Is no lower or no higher. They are all the same. They were all from the eternity. When we read here, thou art my son, and this day I have begotten thee, he is talking about coming out of the grave. Risen Christ. Just like we were born once with our mother's womb, and second time we are born by the word of God, we are born again. So that's why he says this way. Let's go to the verse 34. Book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 34.
And as concerning that, he raised him up from the dead, now no more to turn to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David.
35.
Wherefore, he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption.
Okay, now see, he is comparing to the life of David and life of Jesus Christ. Now, David was the very best king. Last Sunday, we learned about the King Saul was the first king. But we read the King David was the greatest king ever lived, as the closest to God. Even the Solomon was called the greatest king on earth, but we cannot compare Solomon with David. But David was a good man. David was so close to God. But at the same time, even though he was the greatest man and a holy and a good man, but you cannot compare David with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the greatest. Jesus Christ came in the David's family. We read last week, if you remember, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Even though he came in the David's family, but the Jesus Christ is greatest. And he explains the Paul in the verse 35. Wherefore he said also in another psalm. What psalm is saying? Let's read Psalm 49, verse 15. And what he's saying, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. In those days, they were not psalms written in number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They were written without the numbers and they were written without the verses. So it was so difficult to say it. But anyhow, he says in another psalm because he could not say the number. Go ahead.
But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. For he shall receive me.
Okay, now what is trying to say? God will redeem my soul. It's not David saying. This is Jesus is saying. And because David died and his body is still in the grave. But this is the Jesus Christ says, I will not stay in grave forever. So Jesus Christ stayed in the grave for 3 days and the third day he came out. Let's read Psalm 16, verse 10. Psalm 16, 10.
Okay. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption.
Now, this is even that David sings this psalm. Some people might be thinking David is saying for himself. No, he is not. He is prophesying about Jesus Christ. He is saying, my soul will not go in hell, and I will not suffer corruption. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one went to grave and was not corrupted, or his body did not corrupt. He came out of the grave. That is the difference between a normal human beings and God.
Amen.
God is everlasting. God never dies. He's from eternity. Then somebody says, why Jesus died? Jesus died as a person. Jesus did not die like a God. God never dies. Jesus took the form of man, and that man, Jesus Christ, died on the cross of Calvary, but God raised him from the dead. Now that's what he's saying. Jesus Christ is the only one called Holy One of Israel. There is not a single person was a holy in the children of Israel. They might say holy prophets. Muslims say holy prophet. Hindu are saying holy prophets. They are holy man of God. But there is none like Jesus. Jesus is the Holy One. And there is none like Jesus. That's what the Word of God is saying. He is the only one cannot see corruption. He is the only one who is holy. And that's why he can give you the holiness. And he can give you uncorruptible life. That our life will be living forever and ever in eternity. Why? Because of Jesus. If Jesus Christ is not risen, then Christianity will be useless. Like other religion. They have big gods and big names and famous gods. But their gods, they are in grave. And some of them say, no, our God, our leader went in heaven on horse and this and that. Go and dig their graves. You'll find their bodies. Some of them are lying. But you will find out if somebody goes and digs the graveyard, you will find they're all dead and corrupted. And their body became ashes. Jesus is the only one did not see corruption. And because of that, he has given us grace to not to see corruption. And then somebody say, oh, there are so many Christian people died. Paul died 2,000 years ago. Didn't his body see corruption? No, sir. His body went to dust, but when Jesus Christ comes, he will hear the sound of Jesus Christ, and that body will come to resurrection. And God is going to give us new body, heavenly body. This body is corrupted body, but we get a new body. Verse 36. Acts chapter 13, verse 36.
For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins.
Amen. So what he's trying to say, that David died and saw corruption. But he said, this man, Jesus Christ, God raised him. The difference between David and Jesus.
Amen.
David never said to anybody, if you believe me, I will make you sinless, or I will forgive your sin. Some of the kings may say, God bless you, but they have no authority to forgive your sins. Jesus is the only one who has authority to forgive sin. You know why? Somebody say, why Jesus has authority and some other religious people do not have authority? Did you ever think about that? Why Jesus can forgive your sins and no other person can forgive your sins? Because Jesus is sinless. He did not commit sin. So he has authority to forgive your sins, nobody else. Because sinner cannot save sinners. Beggars cannot help beggar. If you don't have money, you cannot give anybody money. If you're poor, you cannot help poor. If you're sick and dying, you cannot help sick and dying person. Now who does? Jesus Christ. He is sinless and he is healthy and he is great. So he is the only one can help us. So in the time of need, where do you go? Run to Jesus. Okay, he is the only one can forgive our sins. 39.
And by him, all that believe are justified from all things, in which you could not be justified by the law of Moses.
Now what do you say? By him, whom? By Jesus. all that believe are justified from all things. What do you mean all things? All sins. All kinds of sinful activity people are doing it, and they are running to somebody else. The word of God is saying they are going to empty tanks, which cannot hold the waters. When you go to the empty tanks, what happens? You still be thirsty. But come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, what he says, O heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Amen. If you don't have rest, you cannot go to somebody who is already troubled, who is already have problems. You cannot go to somebody who cannot satisfy your thirst. Jesus is the only one said, come to me and drink of me, and I will give you the everlasting water. You will never thirst. And one time he said, come and drink of me, and it will be like what? Rivers of water coming out of your belly. Not only you will be satisfied, you will be able to other people to satisfy. Amen. That is the Christian life. Christian life is to bless others when you blessed. That's what he's trying to say. There is none religion. He says, you cannot be justified by the Moses law. And somebody said, why did the God give the law to Moses? If the people are not justified by the law, why did God give the law in the first place? Now somebody said, why in the world this red light and green light kept in the Rising Sun Avenue? I don't know. If there was no light, I would go faster and I will go easier wherever I want. Why the light is there? You know why the light is there? It is for your safety. Amen. And it is for your good. But if you do not obey the government law and go on red light, what happens? You get a ticket. Sister, I don't get ticket all the time, but you will get someday. And if you're not, you might get killed someday.
Yes.
So what he's trying to say, the law is given to you to make you guilty. Not make you a smart or make you wise, make you guilty. So he's trying to say, in each and every religion, there are rules and regulations. Go to any Christian religion, Muslim religion, Hindu religion. Religions are full of the rules and regulations. We are not preaching religion. What we are preaching Jesus Christ. If you go to some other religion, even the Christian religion, they have some rules and regulations. They have to do certain things. If somebody's died, you do certain things. So that person who is dead in some other place, purgatory, we can make it to him to heaven. Or you do this 7 days, you pray, something will happen. Or you go do this and do that and this will thing happen. Doesn't work, because those rules and regulation is for the profitable. Make profit to their religion. Jesus Christ says, come as you are. You don't need anything to please Jesus Christ. What you need? Your heart. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Cry for your sins and say, Lord, I'm sorry of my sins. People can go anywhere in the world. They say, why Jesus? Why not other religious leader? They said the same thing. Oh yeah, they said the same thing, but they didn't have the power. They didn't have the eternal life. They are dead, they are gone. Jesus Christ is alive. So all the rules and regulations are not going to make you holy. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 3. Read from verse 19 and 20.
Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
See now, two things. One thing, your mouth should be stopped, and the second thing, you should know that you are a sinner. That's the only reason the law was given. The law is not going to make you perfect. You remember one man came to Jesus and said, what should I do to get eternal life or go to heaven? What Jesus said? Obey the commandments. What did he say? I'm obeying this commandment from my childhood. What he was trying to say? I'm a good person. I'm doing all these things. What Jesus says? Okay. If you're thinking you're good, I'll tell you what to do. Sell everything. He did not say give everything. Sell everything. And what? Give to the poor. What does it mean? This man was a businessman, was selling everything, but keeping for himself. He was not concerned about others. So Jesus wanted to teach him a lesson. You know what? You're doing a business. You're not giving your tithe. You're doing a business. You're not helping poor. You're helping yourself. Now I'm teaching you another law. You sell your things, do a business, but give the portion to the poor. And then when all of this thing done, follow me. Now just think, that man was a very rich man, the word of God says. And he was a young man. Now this rich man have billions and trillions of dollars business. And if he starts selling good to poor, how many years will it take to sell his stuff? You know, you go on eBay and sell your one item a day or one item a minute. If you have a billion, trillion dollars stuff, how much time it will take? Jesus' ministry was in this world how many years? 3.5 years, right? And if that man start doing business and the right kind of business, he will be going where Jesus Christ was. He says, sell everything and follow me. He would have said, Jesus, I don't have to sell anything. I don't want anything. I'm just following you. Then he was the best vision you got, right? Following Jesus Christ is the greatest thing. But the people do not understand. He said, well, I want this and I want this. You cannot travel in two boats in the same time. Let's read verse 40. Acts chapter 13, verse 40 and 41.
Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you.
What is he trying to say? Now when you read these two verses, you will not understand what he's trying to say. He says, beware therefore, lest that come upon you. What is going to come upon you? The curse of God, the wrath of God is coming upon every man. If you don't listen to the word of God, he said, listen to the prophet. What the prophet was saying? Each and every prophet, we're talking about Jesus Christ. If you talk from the Genesis to Revelation, take the Jesus name out of this book will be worthless.
Amen.
That book will not have any value. How the value came, brother, each and every prophet talked about Jesus Christ. And he said, if you don't want to listen about Jesus Christ, then the worst thing will come upon you. He says what? Read the verse 41 one more time.
Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you.
See what he's saying? You heard and you worked, and the prophet works and works in among you. But what happened? You are still perishing because you did not hear and you did not believe what the man of God was declaring. And he says in the book, he says in the prophets. Let's go to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 5. Paul is quoting from Habakkuk.
Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you.
Right. He says you will be among the heathen people, just like a heathen people they do. They don't listen to God, and you will do the same. Jesus Christ did signs and wonders and miracles. And we are doing the signs and miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. But there are so many people are so stubborn, do not want to hear the word of God. Sometimes you wonder. You tell your son, you tell your daughter, you tell your husband, you tell your wife, you tell your friend, you tell your neighbor what God is doing in your life. What's happening? They're going over their head. They don't want to listen. They see the word of God. They see God is blessing you. They say, could you please say a prayer when you go to church for me? But I want to go to bar. I don't have time to go to church. I'm so busy, I'm working today. I'm so busy, I have to go and check out something else. You go and pray for me. What God is saying? You seeing the works? You seeing the miracles? But your heart is stubborn. You don't want to listen to God. And he's already, Habakkuk said it. And the same thing Paul is saying. The works are done. The prophets are preached. But you are not listening. Do you know the story about the rich man and Lazarus? The Lazarus was a beggar, a poor man, but he knew Jesus Christ. He was lying down in front of this rich man's house. Rich man never said, Lazarus, do you need medical care? I'll take you to the hospital. I'll clean you up. I have so many servants. I can tell some of my servants to help you out. I'll give you one good meal. He never cared about it. And the word of God says Lazarus died and the rich man died. And what happened? Rich man went to hell. Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man crying from there, oh, Father Abraham, could you please send Lazarus? Now there are so many people in there. But he knew Lazarus at least. He thought Lazarus this time will respect me. Because I was the richest man, and now Lazarus will feel so much love for me. So he will come and give me a little bit of water on his pinky. Before Lazarus says anything, Abraham said to him, sir, you had a good days in there, right? You never cared about Lazarus. You didn't care about the godly thing. Now you're suffering there. We cannot go. There is a gulf between you and us. We cannot go. Even though we want to go, we can't. We cannot go there. We cannot go to hell once you go to heaven. And don't crave for hell. If somebody says, I like to go to hell. I say, sir, you don't have to do anything. Do what you're doing. You are in hell. So what I'm trying to say, Lazarus was having good time and this rich man having a bad time. You know what the rich man said? At least do one favor to me. Send Lazarus back to earth. For what? To tell my brothers to do good things. Believe that Lazarus was dead and now he's here to tell you these things. So don't go to hell, go to heaven. What Abraham said, do you know? He said, there are prophets, there are teachers. Let them listen to them. If they don't listen, they are not going to listen. Somebody comes from heaven to tell them. The same thing happened. Jesus Christ went to grave, came out. Are they listening? No.
No,
they are not listening. So what is the reality? You have the Bible, you have the Word of God, you have the testimony of people. People are telling you, we went to church, we learned the Word of God, we studied the Word of God, we saw the miracle with our own eyes. Jesus Christ is real. And if they don't listen, what's going to happen? They're going to be punished. More you know, more your judgment is greater. Okay, let's read verse 42.
And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God.
Okay, now see what happened here. Paul and Barnabas, they are preaching in synagogue. Now they are preaching to the mixed generation, mixed people. The Gentiles are there and the Jewish people are there. So they start preaching. And people liked it so much, they said, hey, we never heard of these things. Somebody can forgive our sins. Jesus Christ can give us uncorruptible bodies. And Jesus Christ can take us to heaven. This is a good news. Let's go in here. And what happened? All of those people in synagogue, how many people can sit? Just think the biggest synagogue, maybe 5,000 people. And those people went out and what did they do? They advertised. They told, come and listen, Paul and Barnabas. And what happened? How many people came? Whole city came to listen to Paul and Barnabas. Whole city cannot fit in the synagogue, so they might have to come out of synagogue. And whole city was listening to Paul and Barnabas. That takes the testimony. How many people go and tell your friends and neighbors what you're hearing and what you're not hearing? The bad news goes faster. Good news goes slower. So we have a good news. Don't spread the bad news. Spread the good news. Good news is this. Jesus Christ is alive.
Amen.
And he's among us. And he has chosen us to do great things. 45.
But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles.
Okay, now here what we see, Paul and Barnabas, when they were preaching, whole city came to hear. And the word of God says, the Jewish people, they got mad at Paul and Barnabas, and they start contradicting against Paul and blaspheming. What does it mean? They did not like what Paul and Barnabas was saying. So they went against Paul and Barnabas and starts doing against him. And then the verse 46 says, and Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, what they were saying? They were angry and they said, the word of God came to you. The gospel was preached to Jewish people first and then Gentiles. But he says, the gospel came to you and you did not understand. Let's read the verse 46.
Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles.
Right. What he's trying to say now, gospel is given to you and you don't understand. You are not worthy to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are turning away to Gentiles. God loves Gentiles and God loves Jewish. First gospel came to them. They didn't listen, so he said, okay, we are going to turn to Gentiles. Well, let's read the verse 47.
For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth.
So he says, God has given us this command. When he given, you remember, when Jesus Christ made Saul, and then he said to him, now I'm going to send you to Gentiles. And that was his mission. But what happened? He came to the Israeli people. He came to Jewish people. And he started teaching to Jewish people. And they are not listening. So Paul says, now I'm finished. I'm fed up with you people. I'm going to go to Gentiles. And then he reminded the Bible scripture, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6.
And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth.
Okay, now he said, my son Jacob. He's talking about Jesus. He's not talking Jacob Israel, because Jacob did not preach at all. Jesus Christ is the one coming in the Jacob's family or David's family. And he says, now this salvation is coming to the all Gentiles, and you will be the light to the Gentiles. You remember when Jesus Christ was born, he says the people who were in the darkness, they saw the light. So the Jesus Christ came as the light of the world. Jesus Christ even said what? You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. So we are the one who can reflect the light of Jesus Christ. because we are chosen by Jesus Christ. And here he says, if you don't listen to us, we are going to go to Gentiles. Let's read the verse 48.
And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed.
Okay, now Gentiles were listening, and the Gentiles, when they heard that the light of the world is came to Gentiles, they were happy. And they were so happy that somebody is trying to bring Gentiles to Jesus Christ. And they were happy and they were rejoicing. The word of God says, the people who are ordained for eternal life, they heard the message. So the message is given to everyone. But the people who deny the message, they are not going to get it. The Bible says, you know, many are called, what? Few are chosen. So we have to be so thankful to God that God has called us with a definite high calling, and we should not be going astray, but stay in the course and listen to the word of God and be thankful that we are given chance to listen to eternal life or to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 49.
And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region.
Okay. Now when this word was preached, first of all, it's preached in the synagogue, then preached whole the city came. Now this word was preached in the whole region. And people were excited to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Barnabas and Paul, they are testifying and preaching and telling others what Jesus Christ meant and why Jesus Christ came and how we can have eternal life. How can we get forgiveness of sins? All of this message came to Gentiles, and those people start going and spreading the gospel. Going and out and telling everybody, come and listen to Paul and Barnabas. And many people came. But see what happened? Verse 50.
But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts.
Okay, see what happened here? Now the people do not like Paul and Barnabas. They simply should shut their mouth, right? But what they did, stirred up the devout woman and the chief men. This is saying, we don't like Barnabas and Paul, and you should not be liking him too. So let me tell you some of the bad things, what he's saying. And we are not agreeing what he's saying. And they start going against Barnabas and Paul. And that's what people do. When they don't like somebody, they don't keep quiet. They said, I want you don't like that person either. And so they start doing like this, getting all these good people and tell them. That's what these people came and start saying. Don't listen to these people. And not only that, they are not satisfied with that. You know what they said? Get out of our town. Get out of our country. We do not want to hear you. And they expel them out of the coast. Verse 51.
For they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium.
Okay, now Paul and Barnabas would have gone quietly. Nothing will happen to these people. But they said, we remember what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. They remember Jesus said, if you go to a certain city, you go to a certain house, and they don't listen to you, you don't go quietly. Shake up the dust and go.
And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city,
house or a city,
shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.
See, that city or that house. Because he said, that house you go or that city you go, and they don't listen to you, shake up the dust. So what the word of God is saying, if anyone goes against the man of God or against the pastor or against the minister, shake up the dust, and they will have to pay the judgment day. Because the word of God says, do not touch what? My anointed one. And so people have to learn to respect the authority and don't go against the authority. God is not going to let them go easily. That's why he says, shake up the dust. And you will have the judgment. And so those people will have judgment in the judgment day. Verse 52.
And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost.
Okay, now when they heard these things, what they heard? They heard that Paul and Barnabas is kicked out from the town. They heard they were doing against them. They didn't like them and they wanted to destroy their ministry. They did not say, let's curse them. Paul said, hey, we already put the dust there. We are free now. Let's rejoice in the Lord. We have a mission to do. We cannot dwell in the past. We go forward. We cannot look back and get sad. Why this person said to me? Why this happened to me? How I'm going to live now? What is my future? Our future is in the hand of God. We don't dwell on what the enemy does to you. We keep on going forward. So they said, hey, let's rejoice. And how you rejoice? Rejoice in the Holy Ghost. One brother came today and he said, you know, I saw one white dove came and sat in my house window. And it just flew to my window. And he says, what is the message to me? Pastor Peter, could you tell me? I said, what did you get message? He said, that is the Holy Spirit. I said, what the Holy Spirit is telling? I don't know, but you tell me. I said, did you fill with the Holy Spirit yet? No. Did you speak in tongues? No. That means now you better start asking God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and stay in the Lord and get closer to God. Don't see the Holy Spirit came and sat in the window and that you got the Holy Spirit. You have to experience in your spirit. That's what the Word of God says. The joy of the Holy Spirit comes in you. Many people don't know. When you receive the Holy Spirit, then you feel that joy. That joy is unspeakable. You don't know how to explain to people because you feel oneness with God. Let's read that Romans chapter 14, verse 17.
The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Okay, for the kingdom of God is not in meat. Meat is what? Food or drink, but the righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what we have to learn. The joy doesn't come with the parties. Joy doesn't come with a gathering with the people and having a good time. The real joy comes when the people of God worshiping, loving the Lord, glorifying God, listening to the Word of God. That is the peace and joy. People are looking outside the church joy. As I said this morning, when we want to go to somewhere to have a good time, what we want to know? We want Jesus to be in the midst. You don't go to the party and miss the Jesus. That's what I said. One person comes to me, oh, we want to go and take a Sunday school trip. I said, where? Oh, we're somewhere. For what? Having a good time. I said, we could tell some of the church members who wants to be baptized, and we can go to the shore, or we can go to the swimming pool, we can go to some places where the water is available, and people can be baptized, and we can sing a song, we can have a food, we can have a children's play, and everything together. That person said, no. Oh, that will mess up everything. We don't want this baptism in our trip. Then what I said, sir, if that's the way you want, then you take the home trip, not the International Christian Fellowship trip. You do it your own. But if I'm going somewhere, I do it for the Lord. So here the Word of God says we should have righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That should be our aim. If we're serving the Lord, we don't lose the righteousness, we don't lose the peace with God, we don't lose the joy of the Holy Spirit. Without that, if you gather somewhere, God's Spirit will not be there. You might having a good time, but you will not have good time with the Lord. And that's what the Word of God is saying. Okay? I'm going to finish it here. We already did. I'm going to have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to find what Paul and Barnabas did in the time of trouble. Whole city went against them. Whole the region went against them because of the few troublemakers. But they start rejoicing in you. Give us grace to not to look left or right, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Give us grace to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.